guys. God bless you. Amen. Yeah, I know that this morning seemed like it folks were a little lethargic. Y'all keep that up, and we're going to have a worship service like they do in Taiwan. Jackie and I, I'll tell you, we went over there, and we were on the front row, and they started singing in their worship, and they all started running in place. And the missionaries that had been on the island there for a long time said, "Come on, Southern Baptist, let's get with it." And so we ran in place and sang and turned around in circles. And I'm going to tell you what, when you're done, your heart's pumping. And you are very much, especially there, which is in the center of the equator, you've done worked up a good lather before you get started. So, but anyway, appreciate the guys for handing out our outline right now. You know, I appreciate Brother Bob, too. Brother Bob gave me a cough drop before the service started, and I put it in my mouth, and he told me, he said, "You know, a good thing to think about is put that cough drop in your mouth, and when it's gone, that'd be a good time to end the service." And what he didn't realize is he gave me a button. And so, no, I'm just kidding. That was a joke he told me for it. Anyway, I also did hear, while we're getting settled in here, that there was this one family, and I meant to mention this a while ago when we was talking about the finances. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. We're also going to be looking in chapter 15, but 4. But anyway, there was this family that went to church, and when they left, little boy and little girl sitting in the back seat, and her dad started complaining about the choir. "Man, I tell you what, the choir didn't do this and didn't do that, and can you believe old so-and-so up there, you know, did this or did that during the service?" And the mom said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "I couldn't believe the," she said she couldn't believe the preacher wore what he did today. I mean, my goodness, he's a man of God. He ought to wear something better than that. And then the sister said, "Yeah, I know, I didn't get a thing out of the message." She said, I wasn't able to keep up. And the little boy had saw the offering plate go around, and he said, "You know, guys, that wasn't too bad, though, too bad a show for a quarter, was it?" And, but anyway, moving right along. If you're visiting with us this evening, listen, we're in a series on Sunday evening that it's a training time. We are considering the what in order to be able to implement the how of making disciples. Methatchew. Come on, say Methatchew. All right. Say it one more time. Methatchew. 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 All right, good. That is a Greek word that simply means make disciples. That's this word. That's it. Okay, now y'all can quit the rest of the service. I got a headache. I don't listen to that all night. And but anyway, this is the Greek word methatchew, and I know that, you know, somebody may come up to us and you be wearing this shirt and say, "What does that mean?" Man, what a great opportunity. Because it is the opportunity for us to say, "Listen, you know, God's will for your life is that you've been saved from the penalty of sin, and that you're being saved from the power of sin. Ultimately, that you will be saved from the very presence of it." Now, I just want to ask you, have you been saved from the penalty of sin? And do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if so, are you being saved through the power of sin? Are you a part of a local church? And it just gives us all kind of opportunities to share the gospel. We're going to talk more about that later. But right now we're talking about the how and in getting the mindset. By the way, if you're a Sunday school teacher or assistant, we want to ask you to go through these sessions at least one time. And if you hadn't been able to be with us on Sunday night, there is DVDs that Brother Steve has so wonderfully put together for us of session 1, 2, and 3 along with the sheets of each session out there that you can take home, pop in your DVD player, and maybe you don't have a DVD player, but you can go online and get it offline. But at any rate, we are now this evening at session 4, and this is dealing with consistency and clarity, and the process of making disciples. The process that I didn't figure you'd listen to me. The process of what we're about and getting in this together, and the Sunday school program that we're going to use to be an avenue to carry this out, requires a consistent attention. You know, if you look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." That one be found faithful. I don't know if you've heard about who Cal Ripken is, but Cal Ripken is an individual that went through years and years in Major League Baseball, never missing a game. Absolutely, incredibly faithful. And as a result, he became great because of his accomplishments. Somebody asked him once, said, "What do you think the success of the longevity of your being able to come to practice and come to the field?" He said, "I still love playing pitch like I did when I was a kid. I like putting my glove on and smelling the leather and just going out there and playing pitch." And he loved what he was doing. Church, God has called us to something that is very powerful. And we want to be great with what our Lord left us to do. Amen? One of these days, we're going to stand before him, and he's going to say, "How did you do with the last thing that I asked you to do, which was the Great Commission, to go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of an age." We want to be great about that. And I want to say to our teachers and our church leaders, what we must pray for each other is that with God's help, that we strive for consistency. Let me say this. Listen to how I say this. Every little bit helps, but every little quit hurts. Every little bit helps, but every little quit hurts. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, look over there with me, in verse 58, with all of the great teaching in this chapter, you know, if we're not careful, we'll miss the very last verse, because in this whole chapter, he's dealing with the resurrection, and it's absolutely awesome. As far as the gospel is concerned. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Steadfast literally means to just settle into it. I'm just settling in to what God's called me to do. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I believe that the Lord Jesus could come back tomorrow. I really do. I believe he could come at any moment. But you know what the fact of the matter is? He may not come back for another 200 years. Therefore, what I do with what God's called us to do in the cause of making disciples now is going to affect my children and my grandchildren and their children. And the same thing is true with you. And every moment of every day and every second literally counts. And what Paul is doing, Paul is basically saying, based on what's been done by our great God in sealing everything he said and everything he did in the resurrection, let's just settle in for the long haul. Let's just be steadfast. Let's be immovable. And notice what he says will happen to you. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. we need to take a step in our Sunday school that causes our efforts in making disciples to a place that is super abounding. We haven't done that yet. We haven't done that yet. We are on our way, but we haven't done it yet. Now, remember what we said this six-step process is, all right? Say this with me. Conviction plus clarity plus consistency equals certainty, equals commitment, and equals challenge. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is consistency first. And it really does matter if you're consistent or not. Now listen, this matters in your life, and it sure enough matters in your service to the Lord. Number one, consistency means you are repetitious and predictable. Remember we said this, people learn by repetition, saying things over and over and over again. You know, back in 1983, I was in school at Rhett's Electronic Institute in Louisville, Kentucky. I was lost. And I can remember the phone number to Rhett's Electronic Institute because every other commercial on the TV would say their phone number. And it was electronic, 969-5214. I can't believe I can still remember that, Matthew. That's absolutely ridiculous. But I'm going to tell you, you hear something so often, and it sticks with you. That's how we learn, is through repetition. Another thing, consistency is vital in the conditioning process. You know, if we're to condition what we're going to do in our Sunday school to the three tasks, and remember what the three tasks are, reaching, teaching, and ministering. Now, we've said that our purpose is stated that we're reaching up, reaching out, and reaching in. And within our reaching up, reaching out, and reaching in, we are reaching, teaching, and ministering to people. And it's through the body of the Sunday school that we're going to take what God is doing in this fellowship to a brand new level. And there has to be consistency. Somebody said this once, and I've remembered it. Faith is as much caught as it is taught. When people are around you exercising faith, when people are around you exercising reaching, when people are around you as you teach, when people are around you as you minister, they catch that, all right? More is caught than is taught. And if we say, listen to this, if we say that reaching, teaching, and ministering is important, and we never do it, and we never try to move people toward that process of reaching, teaching, and ministering, let's face it, all we've done is stated empty words, right? Empty words. Number three, consistency means you must have a strategy to stick to it. You must have a strategy to stick to it. Excuse me. You remember we said this. When you try anything, there's going to be failures. We're planting a spiritual garden, and there's going to be weeds. Now, when weeds crop up in the spiritual garden, we don't plow the whole garden under. We pluck the weeds, and we deal with the weeds. These things are going to happen. But if we fail and then quit, we're never going to do anything. We've got to stay with it. Now, get this. The larger the organization gets, we talked about this in finance a little bit. We are an organized organism, amen? We're alive. We're a living, breathing entity that is filled with the Spirit of God, and we should be growing. But the larger the organization gets, the more consistency is required. Not less, but more. Also, consistency is greatly enhanced by the longevity of leadership. If there's one thing that I know is true about Long Heights, and those of you that are members here, one of the things as a pastor who was considering God's call to me, to this ministry, that was very attractive to me was the tenure of your pastors. The first two pastors have been here 10 years each, and that's pretty good over against the, get this, 18-month average. And that's 18 months is the average in churches. So 10 years is pretty good, isn't it? And we're at 8.5, so I've got to hurry up. I got 2.5 left before y'all kick me out of here, all right? I understand. No, I'm just kidding. I believe that we're just getting started. I really do. And so longevity really makes a difference. We're here. I'm going to tell you, I'm here. As God's given me grace, I'm here. And so number four, consistency pushes you through and beyond your momentary lapses of failure. You hear that? We're going to keep on keeping on. You know, I know you've heard that Babe Ruth, you know, is one of the greatest home run hitters. He's actually number three in line now. But he also holds more strikeouts. You probably also knew that. And I liked what he said when somebody asked him, what do you think about when you strike out? He said, well, I was just thinking, I wish I'd have hit a home run. You know, I like that kind of attitude. And the road to success is paved with failures. And as things unfold, there's going to be some. And I want to ask you to commit with me to keep on keeping on. All right? I want to ask you to do that. And I also want to say this. I didn't plan to, so this is dangerous, all right? So I'm acknowledging that up front. As we encounter difficulties, sometime the weaker, sometime those who have emotional stress already tend to fall to the wayside and depart, and they want to go somewhere else. Or they want to, you know, something's going on. Now listen, you know as well as I do that unless there is something doctrinal or that the church is taking a doctrinal direction that is away from the will of God, you know, and you know, I know that God leads people to go play. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Hear what I'm saying. Encourage each other to keep on going during the difficult times. And this is why. This is why. If we are experiencing God's will as a church, we are going to be challenged to move to areas that are uncomfortable for you. And it's only in those uncomfortable areas that you are able to exercise faith. If you don't have an uncomfortable place to exercise faith, you're not going to exercise faith. You can simply do what you in your own strength can do. So in this particular instance, we've kind of been in a comfortable place of doing Sunday school for a long time. And you're going to be challenged in reaching, teaching, and ministering through Sunday school in a way you never have before. Don't buck and run. Buck if you want to, that's okay. We're going to yee-haw and hang in there, all right? We're going to hang on. Ask questions, but don't run. Stick it out. We're going to come through this thing with God being glorified and souls being saved and the kingdom advancing in a way it never has before. Y'all excited about that? Amen. I am too. Now, I think I was at home runs and strikeouts. But we must be better and in consistency in order to do what God's called us to do. Number five, listen to this now. It's very important. Consistency is not doing it 9 times out of 10. It's doing it 10 times out of 10. That's consistency. Now, listen to these three statements. Great consistency communicates this is very important. Some consistency communicates, it's somewhat important. And little consistency communicates, well, this isn't important at all. It's not important. All right? And so think about that. Listen, by the way, that can be applied to our families and how we communicate to our children. If we're consistent in church, that communicates it's very important. If we're consistent in things of God, it communicates to our children, spouse, neighbors, friends, it's very important. But if there's little consistency, quite frankly, friend, whether you want it to or not, and regardless of what we say, it communicates it's not important. It really does. And our commitment as teachers, assistants, as leadership, as a part of this church, isn't to start this thing. And I want you to hear me on this. Our commitment isn't to start this thing with a big bang and then let it drop off. This is an avenue to a cause. Therefore, we're going to have to carry it out. And there's no use starting, wasting time, energy, resources, and then not be committed in consistency. Number six, execution depends on consistency. And I'm seeing a lot of Bible Belt churches where vision is greatly multiplied and magnified, and yet execution of that vision is allowed to hang out there somewhere. They talk about what we're supposed to do, but in enabling in a way to execute it doesn't get done. You know, great vision plus little execution equals little accomplishment. But little vision, listen to this, with great execution equals much accomplishment. You know, you can have the greatest vision in the world, but if you don't execute it, it's only a dream. And we're looking at reality, amen? At a reality here. So here is a suggested Sunday school to-do list. Number one, reach people. Number two, teach people. And number three, minister to people. Reach, teach, minister. That's the to-do list. Is that familiar? It needs to be. We need to be able to state that. Now, if that is the to-do list, what is the don't-do list? Check this out. And this is just as important as the to-do list. The Sunday school's don't-do list is everything else. If it's not reaching, if it's not teaching, if it's not ministering, then don't do it. You know, consistency is not only doing what you're supposed to do 10 times out of 10, it's not doing what you're not supposed to do 10 times out of 10. And when it comes to consistency, we don't, listen to this, we don't want to be dogmatic, we want to be bulldogmatic, all right? That's what we want to be. Winston Churchill once said this, and I love this. The reason bulldogs' noses is slanted backwards is so he can continue to breathe without turning loose. Don't you like that? I like that. He's got a tooth hold. So consistency means being tenacious. Number two, consistency means that the church as a whole has bought in to the projects and the same mission, the same mandate, and the same message. Now, why is that important? Inconsistency fuels confusion. Therefore, we have to put out the fire of inconsistency quickly. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. I heard about this week. I was talking to the Sunday school director. Well, he's really the worship leader there at Chapel Hill, and we was talking about some things. And they had a Sunday school teacher that wasn't helping get the reaching and teaching and ministering done. And there was accountability. They were going to him saying, hey, you know, how's this going? How are you doing this week? He said, well, I just wanted to let you know I'm not going to be participating in that. And they said, well, we want to help you in every way possible to fulfill this, and you need to be doing it. And he said, well, not only are we not going to be participating in it, we're going to be going somewhere else. And he said, I thought to myself, man, you know, good gracious. You know, we don't need somebody to buck and run. That's exactly what happened. But you know what happened? That individual, a fire of inconsistency kind of flourished. And they didn't back up and say, well, okay, we'll just keep doing what you can do. No, they wanted the church to be better than that. And they said, we're going to help you do what you need to do to get it done. And as a result, God placed somebody in that place. And last Sunday in a church that the highest before last week in that Sunday school class has ever been is 116, but the highest in the whole church was 116. But that one class where somebody with the vision along with consistency, they had 62 people in that one class. 62. It's because somebody said, you know what? This is God's will, and we've got to be about it. He had ability to hold on, keep breathing, amen? I like that. We may start a logo with a bulldog holding on to something with his nose turned up. I like that. I like that. So, anyway, Greg's getting excited back there about something. I'm not sure what. So, did I say consistency means the church as a whole is bought into the projects and the same mission? Okay, now that's important because inconsistency fuels confusion. Now, this is a great statement. Just as Lou Gehrig was an iron horse and Cal Ripken was an iron man, let's strive together to have a Sunday school that is ironclad. All right, that is solid as it can be. Consistency is the key for this to stand the test of time. Now let's shift gears real quickly as we close to certainty. What about certainty? What if we come in here, now think about this, and we're expecting God to move in this service on Sunday morning. There's excitement in the air. There is, Brian, Matthew have prepared the praise band, the choir's up here, and everybody's ready. And just as we get ready to sing, they start it off, and everybody starts singing different words in different chords. All the people playing have different sheets of music. That's going to sound terrible, isn't it? Now, the reason I said that is this. All departments have to be singing off the same sheet of music. There is a natural progression in conviction plus clarity plus consistency equals certainty equals commitment and equals challenge. The first three steps are the key to getting to certainty. Conviction, clarity, and consistency are the three keys that get us to certainty. And here are some benefits of certainty. All right, number one, certainty affords everyone the opportunity to get it. To get it. We want to get it. Teachers need to get it. Class members need to get it. We want everybody to understand and to get it. And there be certainty. Number two, certainty brings a cohesiveness and coordination to the Sunday school ministry. The opposite of that is also true. The lack of certainty brings calamity and chaos, don't it? It really does. We've got to be intentional in our choices to have cohesiveness and coordination, because if it's not there, there's going to be calamity and chaos. Number three, certainty puts everybody on the same page. I'd rather have people to know what we're about and disagree with it than not to know and just wander around. Amen? And by the way, some of you are probably going to disagree with certain things. That's a weed that comes up. Let's talk about it. Let's readjust it. Let's get the understanding why, and let's move on with it, all right? It's important that we're on the same page. And then when people are sure, number one, people are sure about their direction and destination. You know, they get on the bus because they know where it's headed. Number two, they're free to pursue the goal unencumbered. I like to see people just operating in what God wants them to do. You know, they're not stopping everywhere asking along the way. They know what God wants them to do, and they're just about it. We get all the weight off so we can run free. Number three, they're able to overcome their handicaps. Number four, they take ownership in the cause. Teacher, assistant, teacher, listen to this. If you're the only one who owns the cause, you'll be the only one to sacrifice for it. If you're the only one that owns it, you'll be the only one to sacrifice for it. People only pay for what they own. Lead them to own the cause of making disciples. And then, when they do, they'll help you get it. They'll help you get it. Cost, sacrifice, blood, sweat, tears. That's what it takes to finish well. Number five, they are stimulated and invigorated and motivated. I pray God gives us a team like that. Amen. God has set ready some wonderful people at Long Heights. With a team like that, somebody suggested we can charge hell with a water pistol and water balloons. And I like that. I like that. Certainty emboldens passion. Passion is huge. I pray that each week you continue to get more and more excited, because as we lay out this what, pretty soon we're going to start talking about how we're going to do it, how you're going to start doing it. One Sunday we're going to start. And it's going to be, many people are, you ought to still be reaching and teaching and ministering now, but we're going to have an avenue in which this is going to be better than ever before. And also, certainty encourages risk-taking. There's a cause that calls us to reach, teach, and minister. And Holy God called us to it. And it's something great, and it's something awesome. All right. Certainty bolsters individual morale, which creates organizational momentum. Number six, when people are sure, they form a powerful force. Now, I want you to turn real quick to John 6, and we're going to finish. In John 6, it says, "Then a great multitude followed him. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him." Now, getting ready to get to a point where people are going to stop following him. Y'all hearing me? They're with him up to this point. Verse 61 says, "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you?'" Verse 64, "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and who did not believe and who would betray him." Verse 66, "For that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." In the beginning there was a great multitude. As responsibility was called for and discipleship and following Jesus was called for, it began to drop off. And today, you know, we'd say to in this situation, there was just a few. And there's a lot of people who would say, "Hurry up, guys. Now, we got 12 left. We need to go out and bring those others back." Listen to this. We need to go bring those others back. That's not what Jesus did. It's not what he did. Jesus said to the 12, "You want to go away also? Do you also want to go away? Do you want to go with them?" Peter rises up and makes an awesome statement in verse 68. Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know. We are sure. We are certain that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who are we going to go to? Where are we going to go? Jesus taught certainty. Jesus knew that he was sent from his heavenly Father. John 6, 29, 38, 39, 40, and so on. 42 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus said he was sent from the Father. And by the way, he was repetitious. Amen. Amen. Verse 29, Jesus answered, said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, verse 40. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Verse 57, as the living Father sent me over and over, I'm sent of God. Number two, Jesus knew that he came down from heaven. Verse 32, he said, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread for heaven. Verse 33, for the bread of God who comes down from heaven. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven. And so on through verse 58. You can read it. I don't know if my voice can make it through it. Jesus was certain. Would you agree with that? And he wants us to be sent from God, and he came down from heaven. And that's how Peter could be certain. You see, if you're certain, the ones who follow will be certain. The disciple following Jesus because of the one whom he is following is also certain. Let's ask you, there are people in your realm of influence. I don't care if you're a mom, dad, brother, sister, friend at school. There are people in your realm of influence that you're influencing to follow you somewhere. Peter had certainty. In John 6, 60 through 62, number one, when the leader is certain, the follower will be certain. Number two, when the follower is certain, he is positioned to be a leader himself. Does that make sense? You want the ones following you to become leaders. New classes get started. You know, I don't want anything to keep us from starting new classes. If God has burdened you to start a new class, come talk to me. If there's a group of people you've been thinking, well, you know what, I believe God may be calling me that, come talk to me. Let's get it started. That's how it happens, starting new classes so that they may grow. Number three, certainty about the mission is most certainly tied to the certainty of the leader. When you have certainty about the cause, you have a passion to live for, and listen, a purpose worth dying for. I'm afraid we're missing that. You and your God-called mission should become synonymous. When people think of you, they ought to think of your God-called mission. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, always immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. When people think of you, do they think about the mission of God? You know, can you talk to somebody and witness to somebody and they say, oh, so you're a Christian? Well, yeah. Well, where do you go to church? Well, I'm not actually a member of anywhere. I go here or there from time to time. Listen, there has to be consistency. There has to be sure steps that lead you to the fulfillment of the mission that God's called you to. There may be somebody here tonight that's not saved. and God's calling, you understand that God has a call on your life. And it is absolutely impossible for you to realize joy, peace, and the power of God in your life unless you first of all enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you been saved? You won't be able to pass that along to your children. You won't be able to pass that along to your future wife or future husband or your husband now or wife now, until you're into the flow of the cause and purpose that God has called you to. Are you a part of a local church? There may be some of you who need to make that step to become a member of this church. And there may be something that has sidetracked you. Y'all, we have to be honest. Sometimes we do buck and we run or we fall. But the awesome thing about Christianity is it is a series of brand new starts. And maybe tonight needs to be a brand new start for you. And I want you to know what this place is. It is a Holy Ghost intensive care unit. And we're all going to need it. It's our life source. Would you be honest? Would you say yes? Matthew, would you come? Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for these moments. I want to thank you for your power and your presence through your word and through truth. God, you've called us to be about making disciples. And God, I believe that something is about to take place in this church that could, Lord, advance your kingdom and shake the spiritual foundation of this Tri-County area. If in moments like these, your Spirit stirring in our hearts would cause us to understand and realize these powerful truths and submit to the King of the Kingdom, the one that empowers us and fills us and leads us. God, in this moment, have your way in us. Be glorified. In Jesus' name, as we stand. Guys, God bless you. Amen. Yeah, I know that this morning seemed like it folks were a little lethargic. Y'all keep that up, and we're going to have a worship service like they do in Taiwan. Jackie and I, I'll tell you, we went over there, and we were on the front row, and they started singing in their worship. And they all started running in place. And the missionaries that had been on the island there for a long time said, come on, Southern Baptist, let's get with it. And so we ran in place and sang and turned around in circles. And I'm going to tell you what, when you're done, your heart's pumping. And you are very much, especially there, which is in the center of the equator, you've done worked up a good lather before you get started. So, but anyway, appreciate the guys for handing out our outline right now. You know, I appreciate Brother Bob, too. Brother Bob gave me a cough drop before the service started, and I put it in my mouth. And he told me, he said, you know, a good thing to think about is put that cough drop in your mouth, and when it's gone, that'd be a good time to end the service. And what he didn't realize is he gave me a button. And so, no, I'm just kidding. That was a joke he told me before. That was, anyway, I also did hear, while we're getting settled in here, that there was this one family, and I meant to mention this a while ago when we was talking about the finances. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. We're also going to be looking in chapter 15, but 4. But anyway, there was this family that went to church, and when they left, little boy and little girl sitting in the back seat, and her dad started complaining about the choir. Man, I tell you what, the choir didn't do this and didn't do that, and can you believe old so-and-so up there, you know, did this or did that during the service? And The mom said, yeah, I know. I said, I couldn't believe the, she said she couldn't believe the preacher wore what he did today. I mean, my goodness, he's a man of God. He ought to wear something better than that. And then the sister said, yeah, I know. I didn't get a thing out of the message. She said, I wasn't able to keep up. And the little boy had saw the offering plate go around, and he said, you know, guys, that wasn't too bad, though, too bad a show for a quarter, was it? And, but anyway, moving right along. If you're visiting with us this evening, listen, we're in a series on Sunday evening that it's a training time. We are considering the what in order to be able to implement the how of making disciples. Methatchew. Come on, say Methatchew. All right. Say it one more time. Methatchew. 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 All right, good. That is a Greek word that simply means make disciples. That's this word. That's it. Okay, now y'all can quit the rest of the service. I got a headache. I don't listen to that all night. And but anyway, this is the Greek word Methatchew, and I know that, you know, somebody may come up to us and you be wearing this shirt and say, what does that mean? Man, what a great opportunity. Because it is the opportunity for us to say, listen, you know, God's will for your life is that you've been saved from the penalty of sin and that you're being saved from the power of sin. Ultimately, that you will be saved from the very presence of it. Now, I just want to ask you, have you been saved from the penalty of sin? And do you know Christ is your Lord and Savior? And if so, are you being saved through the power of sin? Are you a part of a local church? And it just gives us all kind of opportunities to share the gospel. We're going to talk more about that later. But right now we're talking about the how and in getting the mindset. By the way, if you're a Sunday school teacher or assistant, we want to ask you to go through these sessions at least one time. And if you hadn't been able to be with us on Sunday night, there is DVDs that Brother Steve has so wonderfully put together for us of session 1, 2, and 3, along with the sheets of each session out there that you can take home, pop in your DVD player, and maybe you don't have a DVD player, but you can go online and get it offline. But at any rate, we are now this evening at session 4, and this is dealing with consistency and clarity, and the process of making disciples. The process that, I didn't figure you'd listen to me. The process of what we're about and getting in this together, and the Sunday school program that we're going to use to be an avenue to carry this out requires a consistent attention. You know, if you look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. That one be found faithful. I don't know if you've heard about who Cal Ripken is, but Cal Ripken is an individual that went through years and years in Major League Baseball, never missing a game.